Good morning. My wife and I are always back row people, but when we attended here, we always sat over there. So I think maybe that's what you were looking, and we weren't there, but somebody over there took our seat, so we had to sit elsewhere. It's a thrill to be here. This church is amazing. Probably most of your missionaries that you're associated with come up here and say that. They probably lie, but we're telling the truth. You guys are amazing. And for me, it's just a privilege to come here and share. Pastor Sam explained a little bit what it is that we do, so I won't delve into that too much. There is a website that you can look at, because it's Envision is a work that's booming around the world, and we have sites all around the world to do this kind of thing, where we're investing in young people's lives for them to get excited about what God is doing and getting them onto that highway of missions. But interestingly enough, not only around the world, but here in the United States, we have, I'm not sure exactly, 7 or 8 Envision sites in the United States also. So it's just it's a young part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, 10 years, but it's booming. We just finished a conference in Colorado Springs of all Envision site leaders around the world, United States and around the world, and there were probably about 100 of us at this conference. They did this conference 2 years ago, and I think they said there were probably around 50 or 60. So just in 2 years, it's grown that much. But the website is weareenvision.com. It's long, but it's easy to remember. Weareenvision.com. We spent a year of furlough here in 2013. We were here 2 years ago as part of your missions conference. And so I've spoken in one form or another quite a few times in this church, whether it's a Sunday school, Sunday evening, Sunday morning here. And because of that, I've completely run out of my missionary messages. So I had to come up with something new this morning, and maybe fortunately for you, but unfortunately for me, I have to speak a new message when I'm in the middle of jet lag. And so I have absolutely no idea how this is going to turn out. I was back there still scribbling notes while you guys are singing about He is exalted. My head is spinning because right now my body says it's 11:35 at night. I've never preached a sermon at 11:35 at night. And so this is, you know, if you see me start dozing off, pray or something, or just leave and I won't even notice. But so this is a new message, and actually, because I took preaching class in college and I went to seminary, it does have 3 points. All 3 points are actually 3 separate messages. So unfortunately for you, that's the way it is, but I'll try to keep it concise. The first passage I want to read is Hebrews 5, 1 through 6. Hebrews 5, 1 through 6. Hebrews 5, 1 through 6. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." So here we have priests, And then we have Christ. Both are mentioned in this passage. So it talks about the priests in this passage, that for them to serve people, to do what it is that they're supposed to do, because they're sinful, because they're human, they have to purify themselves before they can do what it is that they're supposed to do. But then we have Christ in this passage. He doesn't have to do that, because he came to this earth perfect. The priest has to purify themselves. They're full of sin. And they have to come to God and be completely clean themselves before they can serve other people. Christ doesn't have to purify himself, because when he came here as a priest, he was already pure. So what is the comparison then in this passage? What is similar between the priest and Christ? It's not having to be, it's not that they that Christ is a sinful person, he had to purify himself like the priest did. But what's clear in this passage is the priests were called by God. Very, very clear. Christ was called by God. So both the priest and Christ, when you compare the two of them in this passage, what is very clear is that both of them are called by God, even though the functions that they have to do come from different angles. One, because they're sinful, the other one, because he's perfect, but they're both priests. Now somewhere, because in my jet lag state I couldn't find it, we are called priests. We are a royal priesthood. And what does that mean? What that means then is that since we are priests, we too have been called by God. Oftentimes we don't think about that. Because the way we think about it sometimes in our own minds is, I was called to be a missionary. Pastor Sam was called to be a pastor. So if you're in ministry, somehow we were called. But the rest of you guys, you're just normal people. You do whatever it is that you do. No. Because every one of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are called by God. It doesn't matter what it is that you do, you are called by God. There are times, to be honest with you, because we've been overseas for 27 years, there are times I wonder, why on earth did God call me to do what it is that I'm doing? I mean, I could sit up here for 30 minutes or stand up here for 30 minutes and just give you example after example of just my questioning. God, why on earth did you call me to do this? But I go back to an afternoon in 1978, 79, as a freshman in college, where I was reading an article, I won't go into complete detail, but I was reading an article by a missionary pilot, and the story that he gave in that article was so moving. There on my dorm bed, the Holy Spirit just came on me, and I sensed God's call to become a missionary. And so whenever I go through times where I'm questioning and wonder, God, what on earth are you doing? I go back to that afternoon in 1979 and say, he knows what he's doing. He called me to this, and in that call, I have to persevere, no matter how difficult it is. I told the Sunday school class this morning that every missionary is allowed what we call a ticket day, which means you're having such a terrible day in ministry or personally or whatever, and if somebody comes up to you and hands you a ticket to come back to America, you would grab it out of their hand as fast as possible, and you would be on that plane that night, and you would get out of there. We're all allowed one of those. We never take them because we remember has called us to do what it is that we do. So like priests in Hebrews 5, like Christ in Hebrews 5, we too are called by God. And what is it that we're called to do? And bear with me, because this the men's breakfast yesterday, I used this passage. So this message is not as new as I pretend it to be, because this will be a repeat for them. Every one of our call is to proclaim Jesus Christ and to find ways to be able to share this beautiful story that we have of the Son of God that came to this earth, sacrificed his life on a cross so that we could be forgiven and have eternal life. And we have this amazing story that God has called us to share, whether it's in our community here, whether it's in North Carolina, United States, or around the world. That is our call. But how do we do that? And this is the part that I shared yesterday in Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. I want to emphasize that. That God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. So our call is to find the door that God is opening for us to go through, so that that message of Jesus Christ can be proclaimed. But in all honesty, like the Apostle Paul says here, we cannot do that on our own. It takes people to pray. A church like this to pray. For my wife and I in Bandung, Indonesia, for us to be able to walk through that door and proclaim Christ clearly, it takes people like you to pray that that message that we have, this beautiful message we have, may be proclaimed clearly as it should be. Now, in our minds, and in fact, even yesterday when I talked about this, I talked about what does that look like? And I got to thinking this morning, I might have been not necessarily off base, but oftentimes when we talk about that open door, we think about programs or strategies, or how is it that we can walk through that door and be effective in what it is that we're doing. But for us in Bandung, that doesn't necessarily work that way. Now, we are looking for programs, for opportunities, for partnerships, so that we can be effective in what it is that we're doing. But ultimately, it's about finding opportunities in this call that we have to build relationships with people, so that when they hear what it is that we have to tell them, they'll be able to receive it. So, thank you. Say that again? No, I'm just kidding. And we're finding this out in Bandung, because we're setting up programs. We're developing partnerships with different local organizations in Bandung. But the religion that we're trying to reach there, the Muslim religion, it's not the programs that work, but it's through the programs. And so the open doors that we have in trying to reach people there is strictly by building relationships. There's a fellow right outside our gate. He runs this tiny little shop. And I went up one morning, and I thought, I'm going to introduce myself to him, because I live on this huge property that's gated in there, and he never walks in there. And I thought, I'm going to introduce myself. So I go up there, tell him who I am, that I live here now, and he was thrilled. And he mentions another missionary. He said, oh, yeah, he says, there used to be another missionary that lived on this compound. And there was a missionary that lived there 10 years ago. The other missionaries that lived there, in the meantime, he didn't even know their names. And I thought, I'm going to befriend this guy. Because I want to see, or I want him to see, that there's something going on inside of me that's different than what he's ever experienced before. And so we're getting to know each other. The hard part with relationships is it takes sometimes so long. And sometimes you wonder, is anything coming out of this? I mean, I don't know how many friends I've had in Africa where we lived, close friends, and they still haven't come to Christ, even though we have become friends like this, and they know exactly the way I believe. But it's in these relationships where we need prayer. So this person that runs this little shop, Mr. Ai, spell it A-I, Ai, that you pray for me, that somehow this message that I have will be able to be proclaimed clearly to him, to where he can start asking me questions about what it is that I believe. Every one of us were called by God to find that door that God is going to open to proclaim this mystery of Christ clearly to those that don't believe. And this is something that I've been trying to think through recently, is what does that look like? Especially when you're dealing with relationships. And I've come to these verses, I mean, well-known verses. And a lot of sermons have been preached on them. And you can interpret these in a lot of different ways. And now I'm looking. Oh, boy. This is what happens when you're in a jet lag state. So I won't read it. I'll just tell you it. The parable of the sower, right? And then he's planting seeds. And I wrote Luke 4, but it's not Luke 4, is it? Because I'm open to Luke 4, and it's... But it might be there. Who knows? At any rate. What ground is it that produces or makes the plant grow? It's not the hard soil. It's not the soil that's full of thorns and weeds, but it's the fertile soil. The only soil that produces the fruit when that seed enters into it is the fertile soil. And when we're building relationships and we're walking through that door that God has opened, what we are doing is planting seed. And unfortunately, and this is where a lot of different sermons have been preached on this parable, where it talks about our own heart. You know, whether our heart is rocky or full of thorns, or is our heart fertile. But the angle I'm looking at today is those that we're trying to reach, what is their heart like? And where do we find the opportunities where we recognize that there's a heart, there is soil that is fertile, and that soil is ready for seed to be planted? Let me give you an example. My wife and I, when we went back 16 months ago, we had to do an Indonesian refresher course, because we had been away from the language for 23 years. And I was in class one day, it was just myself and the instructor, and he starts telling me his testimony and his testimony of his family, Muslim background family. This was probably in the 1950s. His mom and dad lived in a neighborhood or village just outside of Bandung. And very instrumental in that village. In fact, he was instrumental in building a mosque in that village during that time. He comes back from work one afternoon, And there's this table, there's this book on the table in their little living room. And he looks at that book and he thinks, man, this is interesting. And it's in Indonesian. And the title of it is the Heart of Mankind, or the heart of the human heart. And the picture on the cover shows the human heart, and inside the heart are all these wild animals, animals that destroy you, eat you, and attack you. And then over here on the book cover is a picture of the cross. So he picks it up, and he reads it. And the whole story is about how the person who died on this cross can take away all those wild animals in your heart. He had never heard of such a thing before. Thought, what kind of story is this? And he was curious. So he asked people in his neighborhood, what does this story mean? Nobody knew. 30 years later, he runs into a guy, or he hears a guy talking, who's a Christian, and what it is that he's talking about is very similar to this book that he had read 30 years ago. And so he starts asking him questions. What does this mean? So this Christian explains the gospel to him, and this guy and his wife ended up becoming Christians. 30 years from the time they read that book to the time they found somebody to explain what it is that they had read, and they accepted it as truth. And then they had children, and the children were Christians, and this instructor, as a Christian, was telling me this story. I am bawling my eyes out. I am convinced that it took those 30 years for that heart to become fertile. And then when he met that Christian, that seed that was planted just bloomed. I asked the instructor, where did that book come from? And Indonesians, they go, nah. My wife was there all day, he says. And I asked her, where did this book come from? And she goes, I have no idea. She says, I was here all day long. Not one visitor came to my house. So I have no idea how this book ended up on this table. When the ground is fertile and the seed is planted, you will see. So that's our calling, every one of us. We are called by God. And we look for opportunities. And if there's fertile ground, plant that seed. Now here's the thing. I mean, this is a good missionary message. But I want to drive this home to us here in a practical way too. Because like I said earlier, and we know this, every one of us in here is called. But if I would ask many of you, what is your job? Some of you work in an office. Some of you are university students. Some of you are teachers. A job is a job where you make money to provide for yourself and your family. But if you recognize that you are called by God, a job is not a job. A job is a platform to be able to do what it is that I've just mentioned this morning. That whatever it is that you're involved in, whether it's an office, whether it's at a school, whether you're a student, every one of us are called by God, and that job is a platform to share this amazing story that we have. So not only myself as a missionary do I look for opportunities for that fertile soil to plant the seed. Every one of you, in whatever situation you're in, whatever job you're in, have to do the same. Many of you already do that, but there are some in this room where it's just a job, and you don't see it as a platform of what it is that God has called you to do. So this is my encouragement to all of us here this morning, is number one, realize we are all called and we are looking for opportunities, no matter what situation we're in, to plant that seed in hearts that are ready to receive that seed. The second thing I want to impress on all of us this morning is what the Apostle Paul mentioned in Colossians, is none of this happens without the body of Christ. And it takes the body of Christ lifting each other up in prayer so that this message may be proclaimed clearly as it should. Many of you pray for us, and we are thrilled by that. And we are convinced, because of the prayers of people like you, we are finding opportunities in Bandung, Indonesia, to plant the seed in fertile hearts. Because of the prayers of people like you, there are hearts that even right now in Bandung, Indonesia, are starting to get worked on, where that those stones, those thorns, are starting to get dug away, and that ground is becoming fertile, so that at the right moment, that seed can be planted in those hearts. So that's what I ask of you for us, is that you continue to pray for us in this new work that we're doing, that we will be able to find the opportunities and recognize the hearts that are ready for that seed to be planted. But like I said, I'm in a jet lag state, but I hope all this made sense. And I hope that that you've been challenged in your own lives, that God's call is not only for Pastor Sam and myself, but it's for all of us, no matter what situation we're in. And it's going to be a glorious day when we get to heaven and you see somebody there because you played a part in that person being there. That's what we need to live with every day. Thank you so much.